Hello, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge with your latest Manchester United news and transfer news. And I tell you what, we have got an absolute raft of information coming in this morning. This is exactly what I want this international break to be. I want it to be newsworthy, transformative, exciting. So, loads of stuff coming in. The Athletic are talking about midfielders, Tonali being off, Anderson unlikely, Bruno Guimarães also agent backing off from Manchester United. We'll delve into that as well. Also got a few other bits around left back, left winger, and more importantly, maybe for some of you as well, a bit of a blow around the manager. Remember I said over the next international break, you'd hope that Man United would be holding talks with managers. An update from Sky last night that Man United aren't holding talks with managers, that they are basically giving it to Carrick, which I think is a bloody disgrace. But you know what? We'll delve into that in a little bit because I've said it to you for weeks. It's well known within Manchester United, and we mentioned it a few weeks ago, Wilcox wants to give it to Carrick. So, you know, even if you're pro Carrick, are you pro Wilcox? And I think this is what people don't realise. Like, Ronald McDonald is very lucky that Jason Wilcox doesn't want a job at McDonald's because he's a bigger clown and he'd get the job. And Ronald McDonald would be picking up his P45 and he'd be sacked because Wilcox is a clown. And whatever you think about giving the job to Carrick, maybe just take a moment and think, wow, you know, the good old days are coming back. Remember who's making the decisions at Man United? Jason Wilcox. He's a clown. He's an absolute circus clown. But the right, look, there's more to get into. We need Enrique's as chicken boy. I've got a bit of a twist around Enrique that might be quite interesting. We'll delve into the manager stuff in a bit, but I want to get into the transfer stuff because that's what this March international break needs to be about. As far, look, I want a new manager. I want the manager talks. I want us to do a proper process, but I also realise that it's not just that. You know, we've got to bring players in, and we've had some really big updates coming in overnight, like I said, around Tonali, Anderson, Baleba, Wharton, Bruno G. So we'll delve into all that straight away. I just want to say straight away, I wasn't going to start off on this by any means, but I'm a little bit, not had a lot of sleep, got me coffee. I didn't get back from London till about 2 a.m. I don't think Angry Ginge got back till about 3. We were down at the Copper Box in London last night for week 2 of Baller League. The Gold Devils got the win. We were the last game. We got the win. If you watched it, fantastic. If you haven't watched it, I'll pin it in the video description. It'll take you straight to the bit where we played. Goldbridge Ball, whatever they want to call it. It was a good win last night. So thank you everybody who supported us because we are your team. We are your bloody team. And if you want to get tickets, I've dropped the link in the live chat. Week 3 next week. It's the Easter holidays. Maybe you want to get down there. But week 6 and 7 are in Liverpool. So I've dropped the tickets for that as well. So if you're up north and you want to get to those, we're in Liverpool for 2 weeks as well. And I've got a feeling we might be playing Angry Ginge in one of them weeks. So United against Gold Devils will be good. Anyway, let's get into this. United stand, that's what we're here for. So let's start off. Right, I mean, look, I want to sort of start off with what the Athletic have been talking about yesterday. So Andy Mitten, you should know the name, you know, very respected journalist around Manchester United, sort of like a fan, respected fan journalist, I would say Andy Mitten, does a lot of stuff, not just United, goes around looking at grounds and stuff. I mean, I make it sound like he's bloody Alan Wicker. But the point is, you know, there's no doubt that someone like Andy Mitten and Laurie Whitwell and James Ducker and Chris Wheeler, there's no doubt they get information from the club. I would never doubt that. It's what information they get from the club and what the club want to give. And sometimes it can be client journalism because they, you know, they maintain them relationships by putting out what the club want. Obviously, when we get information, our relationship with the club is, it's crap, basically, to be honest. It's crap. We won't be getting any more interviews because we say how it is. And I think for a couple of years, we probably looked at it and was trying to build something there. But, you know, there's some good people who work at United. But ultimately, while we've got those people at the top, it's never going to work. They're clueless people at that football club. I could tell you stories on a different stream. But look, there's no doubt that this is well-sourced information. So this is what Andy Mitten said on the Athletic podcast. Manchester United have looked at Tonali. My understanding is that Newcastle do not want to sell him, so that means the player would really have to push to leave. There's also background stuff with him, the gambling stuff that will cause some real nervousness at Man United. I think that second bit on Tonali is something I mentioned last week when we were talking about him. I like Tonali. I really like Tonali. I think the profile of player that he is, he can sit in that midfield. He's 26. He's one of the best midfielders in the world at the moment for that position. And I'm looking forward to watching Italy on Thursday night in the World Cup qualifiers because I think he'll be key to that. But I always suspected corporate United would look at that and not like it. I don't know whether it's right or wrong. I don't know what your thoughts are. But I'm glad that Andy Mitten's written it because I suspected this all along. And as I said, we spoke about it last week. There'll be a nervousness around the gambling stuff. United are a business, you know. Man United are business first, football second. And like, you know, if you're Newcastle and you're aware, were they aware that you had these gambling issues? You know, you look at it from a football point of view and it has worked out for them. I know he got the ban, but ultimately it has worked out even with the ban. Even pay that 60 million deal for Newcastle, for Tonali, even with the ban, has worked out because they're going to make the money back and he's been fantastic for them. Man United don't think like that. Man United will go, oh, what if he starts gambling again? And, oh, you know, he's 26. There's no sell-on value. You know, I genuinely think we've got to be realistic and say this will be a reason, some might say an excuse, to not go for Tonali. And I also said last week, I don't think we'll go near Tonali anyway because Newcastle will want north of £80 million. So there's a ready-made excuse to go, oh, you know, he's a good player, but the gambling stuff, I don't think it will be the gambling stuff. I think it's an excuse because we're run like a business and we don't want to spend £90 million on a midfielder. So the best-in-class rules, parameters change again. It's the same with the manager. We want a best-in-class manager, but we're not going to pay for one and we're not going to try hard to get one when we've got one who's free right here, right now. So look, I think that Tonali, you can probably move him down the list now. We need to bring the hotter meter back. I'm going to get the hotter meter back tomorrow. If Matt's watching, you might not be. He was doing the Gold Devils last night. Not literally, but he was doing the editing. But we need to bring the hotter meter back. We're bringing the hotter meter back. Smash a like on the video. If we get 3,000 likes, we're bringing the hotter meter back tomorrow morning. It's coming back. But look, I think we can sort of start to rule Tonali out. United are very good at this as well. They'll use a story. And look, this is true. And I know we've got loads to get through, but I do think these sort of things are worth saying. United are very good at this. We want Elliot Anderson. He's priority. We'll listen to the update in a minute, right? The last 2 weeks, Tonali this, Tonali that. United with Tonali. They say nothing. They let it go for 2 weeks. Oh, Tonali. Right, kill it. They've had enough fun with it. Kill it. Take it away. It's like giving your kid, you know, a brand new bike and going, go on, play on it. And then a week later, yeah, it's not your bike. We just borrowed it. We're giving it back to Halfords. And you're left there going, what? I thought you'd actually done something good. No, we just borrowed it. It's going back now. And it's the same with this Tonali story. It served a purpose when the Champions League was on and we weren't in it. Oh, put it, yeah, Tonali's great. Now we're into the international break. Kill that. They're starting to believe it. Kill it, Jason. Kill it. So they just killed the story, basically. Probably rung Andy Mitten up and said, Andy, yeah, this Tonali story, yeah, great player, but, you know, the gambling. Just kill it a little bit. And that's what they do. So I would say with Tonali now, highly unlikely because they've dropped the gambling thing out there. And also, have you ever thought about this? If you're the agent of Tonali or you're Tonali and you read from Andy Mitten, who's a respected Man United journalist, that United might have a problem with the gambling issues, you're going to go, up yours. Thanks for putting that out in the public. Up yours. And of course, everybody knows about it. But for United to be attached to, we might not go for you because of you're a recovering addict. I don't think it's a good look for United anyway now. So I think they've probably just killed that story with Tonali. Is that a mistake? Well, look, it depends where you go because my fear would be in the summer, you give me belabor and I'm looking at Tonali and I'm going, yeah, Wilcox, get your bloody Ronald McDonald outfit on. You know, McDonald's are short of a clown. You know, it makes me angry because I look at Arsenal. It won't put them off signing Tonali. Like, Arsenal wanted Tonali in January. I don't think Arsenal thought, ooh, £90 million. Ooh, he's had problems with gambling. Arsenal are probably going to win the league. So that's how I look at it. I go, oh, you know, United have found a reason not to go for one of the best midfielders in the Premier League, whereas Arsenal will go and do it. And that's the difference. Mohamed says, are you going to put your name in the ring for the manager's job? Well, you know, I, I, yeah. Obviously not. Can you do two hotometers, says Dazzo, one for players and one for managers? I like that. Matt won't be up yet, but he will watch this. So if you're watching, Matt, they want two. At this point, we should stop believing this best in class because Glinios clearly just picks whoever shows up in class. That's a fair point, one and only. Can we sign Bilal Sayoud from the Gold Devils, baller? Bilal Sayoud is my Bruno. That's what I would say. If you've not watched the Gold Devils last night, Bilal is, you know, basically our captain. There were some brilliant performances last night, though. We'll talk about that in a bit, but he is basically our Bruno, yeah. Mohamed, thank you for being a member for 48 months. Bilal Fernandez, says Veghorse. Corrupt ref yesterday, Mark. Conspiracy, says Sehabs. I mean, if you watch the stream, I feel I went too far with the ref, but I was, you know, yeah. Goldbridge Ballers arrives, Ian O'Connell. And Mohamed, thanks for getting your badge in and supporting the United Stand. Welcome to the Members Club, Mohamed. You're the latest man with a badge. Stuart Esp, another one of our members, says he was great. Yeah, you've got to get into Gold Devils. It's the international break. We play every Monday. You need some live football that you can get into. And it's really passionate. It was really good last night. So make sure you join the Gold Devil Ultras. Shave says, what a match yesterday. I was so involved, like a United game. Listen to you every single day. You're part of my life. Thank you for everything. Thank you, pal. Thanks, everyone who watched. And thanks, everyone who came down. I was signing shirts. So I'm tempted to say it's a strange world, but I was signing shirts and I was doing co-coms on Sky. So it was a weird night, but it was great. Anyway, get back to this because we've got so much to get into. So we spoke about Tonali. What did Andy Mitten have to say about Elliot Anderson? Because this is something that, again, we've collectively been saying for quite a while. So this is what he had to say about that. I feel like I've gone through. Oh, I think I've missed it here. So we've got a Mason Mount update as well. We've got to talk about Nathaniel Brown at Frankfurt. There's a bit of a Belabor update as well. Okay. On Elliot Anderson, this is what Andy Mitten also had to say on this Athletic podcast. He was basically asked how strongly positioned Man United are for Elliot Anderson. He said, I would be surprised if Elliot Anderson came to Manchester United. I hope he does. The competition for him is strong and he's in an extremely good position with both clubs interested. But he said, I would be surprised if Elliot Anderson came to Manchester United. And again, we are starting to get these updates again around Elliot Anderson. And it's similar to Tonali. You know, Tonali, they've sort of killed that story. If you missed it, go back to the start. And with Elliot Anderson, again, you've got almost two updates there. Well, there's two or three updates that we'll go through from Andy Mitten. And you feel like he's talking from somebody who's told him something, which he probably has been told. And it feels like United are saying, yeah, we'd like to get Elliot Anderson, but it's probably not going to happen. And it's felt like that for the last two or three weeks. I mean, as I've said to you, I don't think we're getting Elliot Anderson apart from the fact that Ben Jacobs has always kept that door open. And he'll probably do it again on Thursday. He is the only journalist that I think has really kept it open. You get Ornstein, you get Romano saying he's a priority, but more and more we're getting he's going to City. And the annoying thing about that is that United, they really don't care about their fans. Like, you know, I say that with total conviction. And if they've got any problem with that, the United Stand's the biggest Man United fan community in the world. How's about the biggest Man United fan community in the world sit down and has a chat with Jason Wilcox or Omar Berada? And you can tell me why you care about your fans. And I will list off five reasons I don't think you care about your fans. And we'll get a big, you know, Q&A ready with our community as to why you don't care about your fans. You don't care about your fans. You care about the money in the fans' pockets. That's how you made the same money from 10 games this season than you made from 15 last season, because you increased prices and you hit the people in the pocket and you stopped the working person being able to watch Man United and turn it into an elite sport, because that's what you want to do. You want private investment for your club, which we'll talk about later. You want private investment to build a stadium, effectively more debt. And when you built that stadium, you're going to charge premium tickets for premium seats and rip the arse out of this football club and turn it into a corporate museum. I watch the Bundesliga every Friday night. There are flags, there is noise, there are flares, people can drink. They own half the club. and it creates community. I look at United now. You got the Stretford end. They're getting the flags out. It looks great, but that's gonna die. You know what they'll end up being in the new stadium? There'll be a tiny section with a few flags whilst everyone else is quaffing their champagne. And that's where football in this country is heading, and that's where Man United is heading. You know, all these people going, oh, shiny new stadium. Have you realised who's going to be in that stadium? It's not going to be Darren and Pete. It's going to be Monty and Toby. That's what's going to happen. It's going to be rich people in that stadium funding it for the Glazers. And that's the way it's going. But look, going back to Elliot Anderson, I will call this out because nobody ever calls this out. And it does annoy me, right? We didn't buy a midfielder in the summer. And it was obvious we needed a midfielder. And from the first day the transfer window closed, September the 1st, I think, or maybe it was the 2nd, Elliot Anderson's a top priority. And you go, and then all the way through September, all the way through October, all the way through November, December, January, February, Elliot Anderson's the priority. And the reason for that is they messed up the summer transfer window, so distract. They're not going to buy anyone in January, so distract. All the way through sacking Amrim and not buying someone in January, Elliot Anderson. Remember Elliot Anderson? Elliot Anderson. Fabrizio, Elliot Anderson. And they've done that for 6 months. Elliot Anderson. Elliot Anderson's the top priority. Yeah, Elliot. And all that does, because there's no accountability on that rumour, you know, there's no jeopardy on that rumour. I do a show mid-October, Man United, Elliot Anderson, I don't believe it. You'll get people go, oh, stop being so negative. Yeah, stop being so negative. You don't know we're not going to sign him. Well, I don't. And that's the purpose, isn't it? They can say whatever they bloody like when there's no jeopardy. But when reality hits and they go, yeah, it's a tough deal to do, we're not doing it. You've been spun for 6 months. You've had all that time going, oh, imagine Elliot Anderson in a Man United shirt. Yeah, imagine it. Because it's just a figment of your imagination which has been nurtured by a football club that spins stories out to keep you occupied and keep you happy. And it never happens. It's like saying to your kids, I'm going to get you a PS5 for Christmas, but you keep moving Christmas back. It never comes. It never comes. And look, that update from Andy Mitten is no different to what we've had in the last 2 or 3 weeks. Elliot Anderson is becoming a harder deal. And as we know, Fabrizio said on Friday, Man City are in advanced talks with Elliot Anderson. It is Tuesday. Where are our talks? I find that incredible. Friday night, Man City advanced talks with Elliot Anderson. Man United leak transfer stories like a fucking sieve. And here we are on Tuesday morning. We're not even in talks with him. So if we just put the white flag up again, like we did with Semenyu, you know, so I don't even think we're in talks with Elliot Anderson. So I'd say Andy Mitten is spot on. It's highly unlikely that we're going to get Elliot Anderson. And, you know, the club seem to be happy to do that. But where's the jeopardy? Oh, we've been lied to for 6 months. You've put it out there for 6 months that Elliot Anderson's our top priority. And now it comes to having talks with him. You're not going to have them. Jog on. You know, jog on. Anyway, we have got more to get into. Lovely, brilliant show this morning. Keep sharing the video. We've not hit 1,000 likes yet if you want the hotter meter on the morning show tomorrow. But keep sharing the video. Great show this morning. So much to get into. And I think it's going to have residual conversation for the next few days because there's so much in here. Bruno Guimarães. Now, something's happened with Bruno Guimarães. Now, is it the hat trick of deals off? We've done Tonali. We've done Anderson. Is the Bruno Guimarães deal off? Look, there was a post last night. Newcastle, there's certain Newcastle accounts, right? Their brains are in their arse, right? Shit for brains. They're out there because I don't even know if it's Bruno Guimarães' agent, but apparently a tweet went out last night with a question mark, and apparently it's somebody attached to Bruno Guimarães. Some people were saying it's his agent who's posted question mark. That's it. Now, some Newcastle fans have used that to go, ha, told you he's not leaving. But Romano has confirmed that despite Eddie Howe's denials, Man United have held talks with Bruno Guimarães' representatives. So you can take your question mark and you can take your Eddie Howe comments and you can shove them up your arse. Geordie Josh, that's who it is, yeah. But look, fair play. I find him quite funny, if it is a hint. But the reality is, Bruno Guimarães has held talks with Manchester United. So his agent can do a question mark and Eddie Howe can deny it. But what do you expect Eddie Howe to do? You know, what do you expect Luis Enrique to do when he's asked about leaving PSG? What do you expect Eddie Howe to say when he's asked about Bruno Guimaraes leaving? What do you expect Michael Carrick to say about getting the Man United job? Like, Eddie Howe is going to say, there are no talks. He's a Newcastle player. He's really settled here. You're not going to say he has held talks with Man United. I know we've just lost to Sunderland and my job's in jeopardy, but just to wind you up a little bit more, yeah, Bruno G wants to leave. He thinks I'm shit. He thinks the club's shit. He's got no ambition and he wants to go and play for Manchester United. And we actually agree with him. So he's, you know, you're not, the talks with players have to happen now, but we're not going to get to a point where they're going, I'm going there. You look at Elliot Anderson, it can only really be advanced talks because he's in a relegation battle with Nottingham Forest and he's in the Europa League. And it would be unprofessional to say that. So, you know, rank all the United Stand shows as bang with Clinton. Don't even know what that means. So, yeah, look, I think with regards to the Bruno Guimaraes stuff, I would say, look, where we are this morning, Tonali looks like you can forget it. United have pulled out of that. I would say for financial reasons. Elliot Anderson, they're moving further and further away from that and are leaking it out. And Bruno Guimaraes, I would say, is still very much an option. But hold this thought for a moment. If United aren't going for Tonali and they're not getting Anderson, what if they don't get Bruno G? We're right down the list now. I'd say our top three options are out. You're down to option four again. Well done, Wilcox. Well done, Wilcox, you absolute clown. Well done, mate. Yeah. Most transformative midfield recruitment in years. And we missed out. We've missed out on our top three already. And don't tell me that Tonali, Anderson and Bruno Guimaraes wouldn't be our top three options, because they would be. And already, when you've got to buy two, you know, you're back. We're back to bloody Noddy land, aren't we? Noddy. Absolute prat. So, look, Bruno Guimaraes hopefully will happen. But, of course, you've still got to climb that barrier of parameter. We don't buy players over 26. So we could, the scary update this morning, and I'm not giving it, I'm just hypothetically saying it, because Anderson could still come to United. Doesn't sound like he is, but could. Tonali still could come to United. Doesn't sound like he is, but could. And Bruno Guimaraes could still come to Manchester United. But if none of them do, don't talk to me about best in class. Don't tell me Adam Wharton and Belaiba is best in class. They're good players, but it's not the transformative. Look, if you buy Tonali and Elliot Anderson, I look at next season and go, this could be good. You give me Adam Wharton and Belaiba, I look at next season and go, fucking hell, Adam Wharton, Belaiba and Mainoo, all of them under 23. Oh, yeah, we're cooking, Frankie. You know, it's worrying. There has to be some experience in there. Has to be. Just catching up on some of your comments. First one we're going to come straight back to. Sanil says, Carrick in if we get top four. Not for me. Amit says, United using Anderson story as a decoy to calm fans down. Absolutely. Sorab, welcome to the Members Club and thank you so much for getting your badge in. Thanks for joining the Members Club. You can do that by clicking the join button. Anderson was a smokescreen, says Patrick Lynch. They know what type of midfielder we need. They identify the best, put it out there. We want them. And then just say we can't because we can't compete with City, i.e. we don't want to pay. I think this is a great point. I think it's a great point. And it surprises me how cowardly some Man United fans are with the true standards of the football club. And I will call it cowardly because there are journalists, there are ex-players and there are fans who have become cowards to the standards of what this football club is. When you look at what happened in January, the Semenyo, we wanted him. He went to Man City and we backed off. We want Elliot Anderson. It looks like we're backing off. We're Manchester United. Yes, Man City have had a good 10 years, but we're Manchester United. Explain to me why we back off from Man City and why we can't win those battles. And that's what the Glazers have turned this football club into with Sir Jim Ratcliffe and the clown that's Wilcox. But also, look at the manager market. Oh, we can't get Emery. We can't get Conte. We can't get Tuchel. We can't get Nagelsmann. We can't get Enrique. We can't get Ancelotti. So we'll go for Carrick. It's cowardly. You're cowards. You're running this club into standards it shouldn't be in. and it's being accepted. I'll read a journalist, I'll listen to an ex-player, I'll listen to a United fan, and they'll go, well, you know what, I don't mind Carrick and Belabor, you know, we've got to start somewhere. And you go, well done to the Glazers for ruining this football club. And not only that, well done for ruining the football club, but also indoctrinating a large proportion of people who report and follow Manchester United, who now believe our standards are to step back and let Man City take stuff, and also not to interview best in class, and just to settle for risk, risk, risk. If our summer is Michael Carrick with Steve Holland, Adam Wharton and Belabor, you can get fucked. Seriously, you can get fucked. That is shit standards. And that's not Carrick, Wharton or Belabor's fault. I hope they do well. That's the people making the decisions that have totally and utterly lowered the standards of this football club to a point where some fans actually applaud it. The standards of Manchester United should be Luis Enrique, Tonali and Anderson. That's what we should be going for. And we shouldn't be bloody running him a bath. And, you know, saying, you know, what bubble bath do you want, Sir Jason? You know, we shouldn't be running them a bath because they get a top-class manager and two top-class signings. That's what we should be doing. I'd expect Bayern Munich to do that. I'd expect Real Madrid to do that. Bloody Man City would do that. They've lowered the expectations to the point where you almost have to be grateful for a slice of bread. You know, oh, we might give it, we might give it Carrick and get Belabor in because we believe in our shit opinions. No, no. It must be challenged. And long live the people who actually challenge it, because it's not negativity, it's standards. Standards is not negativity. And people think that that's moaning. It's not. It's having passion for the standards you believe in. If somebody tries to steal your dog in the park and you care about that dog, do you go, oh, let them take it, they're bigger than me? Or do you go, leave my fucking dog alone, you know? And that's how I feel. That's how I feel about it. And I think a lot of people agree. It's like, leave my fucking club alone. Stop ruining it. Stop being a bloody coward. And they are cowardly. They are cowardly. We've got cowardly people in charge. And they slowly, slowly, slowly are turning this fan base into something it never should have been. The standards are on the bloody floor. On the floor. I can't believe that we're thinking of taking a punt on another interim and seeing how it goes. It's like watching the same shit movie again. I know how it's going to go, because you're not going to back him. He's a puppet and will end up being shit. This is a one-hit summer. If we get this wrong, we'll be Newcastle. We'll be back here in a year's time, out of Europe, going, get the Glazers out. I know you lot who are backing them are going to be Glazers out in a year's time. It's going to happen, right? Unless they do the summer they need to do. I was speaking to somebody yesterday, right? I probably shouldn't say this, but I won't name them. I was speaking to somebody yesterday, trying to figure out where I was. We were talking about Man United, and we started talking about Steve Holland, and I was told that Steve Holland isn't even that liked. Certainly wasn't in the England camp. He's more of a disciplinarian school teacher type, whereas Southgate was the nice guy. He's quite dull and boring, and it's hard to see how that would last at Manchester United, because he's actually quite, you know, dull and tactically quite dull, and there's not much personality there. And I thought, I mean, I don't rate the guy anyway, but I'm like, oh my God. So you can just see where this is going to go. It's going to be a bloody mistake. If Carrick gets the job, I wouldn't use Steve Holland. Let's put it that way. I don't think he's very good at all. Anyway, I've gone off on a tangent there. Daniel Thompson says, the Gold Devils lighting up the Baller League. We're live on Tuesday. Things you love to see. Let's get it started like the Black Eyed Peas, as hopefully soon at United. No, not Ali G, but Bruno G. Let's talk about it. Hi, Mark, and hope you're well. That's from Daniel. There you go. He's in a good mood. Daniel, thank you very much for your super chat this morning. Thanks for your support last night. Stuart Esp says, Wilcox is a joke. We will get Belabor and Gomez, Mark. Everyone else is spin. Great work as always. Thank you, pal. I think we need a world-class experienced midfielder. If Bruno leaves, I wouldn't trust any of the current senior players with the captaincy. I want to talk about that. Andy Mitten spoke about Bruno. Let me come back to that, Alex. Thanks for your super chat. What's your biggest transfer misjudgment? A player you really wanted or a move you backed that turned out you were wrong about, says Guy. Probably Sancho. I did want Sancho and I wanted it to work out. It's funny, actually, because there was a story this morning that I do not care about. You know me, I don't like talking about Sancho, but apparently Dortmund really want him. I mean, he's leaving United this summer. He's cost us about 125 million in wages and transfer fee. And yeah, he's been an absolute disaster. But there's loads. There's loads. I mean, I wanted Schweinsteiger to do well. That didn't go well either. Let me come back to that Bruno story I want to talk about. Is Favela our only hope to cancel out Wilcox as JBL? I mean, you can scream and shout, sack Wilcox and give the job to Favela, and the club just won't listen. I mean, it's scary. I mean, look, before I talk about the Bruno thing, I should really talk about this. In relation to the manager situation, this came out from Rob Dorset, Sky, last night. And listen to this. I mean, it might make some of you happy, actually, to be fair, but listen to this. Manchester United are yet to make any contact with any external managers for the head coach job. The understanding is that United's hierarchy remain very tight-lipped. They feel there is no rush to make a decision. They don't want to disrupt the team doing very, very well under Michael Carrick. Wilcox and Berarda are keeping their options open as they continue to do their due diligence on all the candidates, with Carrick seemingly at the forefront right now. I mean, that makes me want to throw up. That is singularly the most depressing update I have seen in weeks. It's absolutely shit. And look, it's not about giving it to Carrick or not giving it to Carrick. It's about what the club is doing and allowing to be put out there. So basically, we sacked a manager in January, and now, in basically April, we are putting it out there to some of the biggest mainstream outlets in the world that we are doing nothing. Nothing. We don't understand what the rush is, and Michael Carrick is the forefront runner. I mean, and this is a club that you sit back and go, they're right. I mean, if I have to say this again, I think I'm going to faint. If you want to give the job to Carrick, you absolute fucking morons, interview other candidates anyway, because it makes him getting it more credible. If I work at a place and a job comes up, and I know nepotism is going to take place and they're going to give it somebody the job. For credibility, everybody knows this in the corporate world. If you have a job and you know somebody you want to put in it. In fact, in a lot of companies, human resources dictate it. You cannot just move somebody into a role without running an open process. So you might know who's going to get the job, but you still openly interview other candidates to make it a fair process. But at United, what they're going to do again, like they did with Solskjaer, is tell the fan base that we're going to have a best-in-class recruitment manager search, and then an interim comes in totally false circumstances, does quite well, and you go, you can have the job, without interviewing anybody else, because we're run by morons. Can you actually get your head around this? They've had 3 months since Amorim was sacked to actually do something. And they're basically putting out there going, no, we don't know what the rush is. Carrick's winning games. Because they're going to give it to Carrick without interviewing people, aren't they? Because they're absolutely bloody idiots. And I'll tell you what, Carrick might do a good job. I like Carrick. He's a legend of the club. I don't like his coaching setup. I think it's weak, very, very weak. And I think that's why we've been playing football badly. But a manager isn't always a coach. Solskjaer wasn't really the tactical guy. He had McKenna and Carrick. Carrick is leaning heavily on Steve Holland, and that's why I think the football's shit. But we are winning games, and maybe Carrick's man management is helping us win games, and the coaching is, you know, making us look a bit shit. Because a lot of the games we're winning on moments, aren't we? So maybe Carrick's, the way he's running the team, people are responding to that. But my point is, would you give a job to somebody that's winning games in false pretenses? Like, we're playing one game a week, everybody else is knackered and playing two games a week. We're very reliant on one player, really, Bruno Fernandes. A lot of the games we've played recently haven't been very good. Bournemouth, I don't think we played very good, and we're reliant on a referee giving us a penalty. Newcastle, we played against 10 men, weren't very good. West Ham, we weren't very good. Palace, we weren't very good, but they got a man sent off. Spurs, we weren't very good, but they got a man sent off. You know, we've been getting the results, but how false economy is that when you think about next season, who's going to be here, who's going to leave, two games a week? But we've got bloody Wilcox there because he wants to give it to Carrick because he knows that Carrick is easy to work with. Wilcox wants to rule the roost, and he wants a manager where he can go, or a head coach, I'm in charge. And that's what this is all about. And I said it to you weeks ago. It's well known. It's certainly been leaked to us. Wilcox wants to give it to Carrick. And that this was like a month ago. So this is where we are. We're not interviewing any other managers. We're not speaking to any other managers because Wilcox has made his mind up. Because he's a prat. He's an absolute prat. And this is the guy that's going to fuck this club up because he's useless. He's bloody useless. What you need to do, Jason, as a little bit of advice, is if you want to give it to Carrick, interview De Zerbi, interview Nagelsmann, interview Glasner, interview a load of managers and then give him it. Because it will help him out if it's known that we interviewed other people. But don't just give him the job without interviewing anybody because it makes you look shit. It makes you look stupid. You have to interview other people. Have to. But yeah, look, it's disappointing. I find it disappointing because it's a March international break. We've not got a game for 2 weeks. And we're basically putting it out there. No, we're not interviewing anyone. We don't see the rush. You don't see the rush. You don't see the rush in looking for a manager for Manchester United. You don't see the rush. What are you talking about? What do you mean you don't see the rush? The only thing I would say as a flip side, and again, this is fantasy. The only thing I would say as a flip side is you can't interview Enrique at the moment. You actually can't interview Enrique at the moment. And that's the only thing. I wouldn't even say it's a glimmer of hope, but you can't interview Enrique at the moment. So if you want to dream that we're getting if you want to dream that we're getting Enrique, we can't do that at the moment because obviously he's a PSG manager. They're still in the Champions League. So you'd probably find it quite difficult to interview him and you'd want to keep it quite quiet. But I mean, do you really think that's happening? Keyboard Warrior, great name. Absolutely fulfilling your name. Says you're a fool, Goldbridge. Yeah, but mate, I might be a fool, but I don't know what I'm a fool about because you can't write coherent sentences. And I've been dealing with people like you for 10 years. You write something like that, but you don't dare tell us what we're a fool about because you know you'll get absolutely destroyed with whatever shit theory you've got. So at least be brave enough, like many people are, to tell us what your issue is and we'll have a grown-up conversation about it. Naveen, thanks for your super chat. Bruno G, Wharton, Fernandez. This should be the three if we don't get Anderson and Tonali. Also, Carrick has to get new coaches if he gets someone, somehow gets the job. I agree on that, Naveen, I agree. Marlo says, good win, Mark. Do you think Amrin was right not making Mainoo a regular starter? He doesn't look ready for that. We need competition in his position. I'm a big fan of Mainoo. I am a big fan of Mainoo, but I don't think he's played that well for the last few weeks. And I thought he did okay against Bournemouth, but Scott completely overwhelmed him. I thought Bournemouth was his best game he's had in a while. I wouldn't say it was a good game, but I thought it was, you know, better than average. But we must remember that Mainoo was 20 years of age as well. I don't think Amrin used him enough. Maybe Carrick is using him too much. I'd say that's a fair statement. I don't think Amrin used him enough, and I think Carrick is probably using him too much. Under Amrin, he couldn't get game time at all. Under Carrick, he can't get dropped. And I think there's a happy medium for a 20-year-old. I think sometimes his performances deserve a dropping or a substitution, but you want to give him plenty of minutes. Patrick Lynch says, not saying he's the right quality, but people were moaning about the likes of Conor Gallagher, and it looks like we will end up with multiple centre midfielders of that type now anyway. So why didn't we get a centre midfielder in January? Yeah, very good point, Patrick. We didn't buy in January because the club don't like buying in January. And this is a football club, by the way, which is being run like a business. Emily Derry, I mean, and you know what I love about Man United as well is that at no other football club that's serious would you get a situation where you do interviews and tell everybody about how this manager is going to be here for 3 years and you're building a project and you need to trust us and all this. You sack him 2 months ago, and in that 2 months where we're working towards one of the biggest summers in our history, certainly Premier League history, there has been no interview. No explanation to the fans at all. You know, you get Sir Jim Radcliffe in October saying, yeah, we're in it for the long run. It's a project, 3 years. 2 months later, we've sacked a manager, we've ended a project, we've got an interim, and nobody's spoken to the fans again. Not even in a safe environment interview where they can control the questions. Because they're crap. They don't give a shit. Emily Derry says, the cowardly lion in The Wizard of Oz has more guts than our board. True. True. Amit says, I think we could be getting some average midfielders next season. Gomez and Matias, Fernandez and Baleba. Can they buy players without knowing the manager, says Keel Robinson. Oh, yeah, they 100% will. They 100% will. Somebody said, what was the Bruno update? So, look, it's been a very... I don't think I'll even get through everything this morning, but I won't get through everything this morning. There's too much, but I will go through the big stuff. So there was an update from Andy Mitten about Bruno Fernandes and whether he'll be at the club next season. Now, I have my opinion on this, but I haven't really read this. So he says, I don't know anybody that has the answer to that question about Bruno's future. I think Man United getting into the Champions League would be a good thing. You have side issues such as the geopolitical situation in areas he's been linked to, like the Middle East, which would make a transfer less attractive. And it's also dependent on who comes in. If they show real ambition, his wages are high, but that's never been a problem portrayed to me because he's so prolific, plays all the games, and is United's best player. And I think that's really interesting, isn't it? Because it really exposes the truth. We know that United went after Sancho, Rashford and Casemiro from the start, that Ineos came in because they didn't like the wages. Bruno's wage is clearly a point of conflict within the board. They don't like his wage. You know, Andy Mitten literally says his wages are high, but that's never been a problem portrayed to me because he's so prolific. I don't think his wages are high. But it's interesting that that's the statement. Bruno's got a high wage, but it's not really a problem because he plays every game and he scores goals. He hasn't got a high wage. I don't think he's got a high wage. That's what you get for that. It's what you know, that's what you get for 300K. You get a guy that plays every game, scores loads of goals. It's not a high wage, but United will see it as a high wage. And those sort of comments can be problematic because we know Bruno wasn't happy with the board last year. He felt he was being forced out. And if he was being forced out because of his wage. So it's interesting that nobody has the answer to the question with Bruno. I do agree that Champions League football is important because if we don't get it, he's gone. So with it, it helps. If he wants to go to Saudi, I suppose you could look at what's going on there. But to be honest with you, by the summer, fingers crossed, hopefully all that will get resolved. I know it's wishful thinking, but, you know, from a world point of view, I think nobody wants to be in these situations. I think with Bruno, hopefully, and look, there is no Bruno's definitely staying. If you hear anybody saying Bruno's definitely staying, it's guesswork. And if you hear somebody saying Bruno's leaving, it's guesswork. I completely agree that nobody can answer the question at the moment. If Bruno is true to his word, and I think he will be, he won't make his mind up until after the World Cup. That's problematic for Man United because it means you don't really know the definitive answer. But he's got every right to do that. United could offer a higher wage. It doesn't sound like they're going to do if they think he's on a high wage already. So ultimately, if somebody comes in and offers Bruno a financial package that he feels he wants to take, he could go. Also, if somebody comes in and offers him a footballing project on similar wages, he could go. So if PSG wanted him or Bayern Munich wanted him or Real Madrid wanted him, he could go. Is that likely? I don't know. I don't think so. I don't feel that any of those clubs would go for him because he's going to be 31, I think, this season or next season. So it really comes down to probably the Saudi option, and that's money, isn't it? And I'm not convinced Bruno's going to go for the money. So I hope that Bruno's going to stay. I think it's a massive problem if he doesn't stay. But to keep him, you've got to get Champions League football, which I think we will. And also, you've got to deliver a project. Which goes back to what we've been talking about. I mean, how naive is Bruno? Does he think Carrick, Wharton, Baleba is a project, or does he see it for what everyone else sees as a massive risk and another waste of his time? We'll have to wait and see. What about the three midfielders? So this was also on the Athletic podcast. Two midfielders is certainly the aim, but when you start thinking of potential departures, it could even be three because Ugarte has had a season of being ineffective. Well, look, I don't know whether that's anything from the club or it's just pure common sense, but we've been talking about this for a long time. United sort of go, ooh, we might buy two. I think the answer is we need to buy three. Now, do you think we'll buy three midfielders? We have been linked to that young lad we were talking about yesterday from Olympiacos. I don't mind that being the third option because he's playing regularly first team football, even though he's 19. So I don't mind that being the third option. But you've got to get two decent options as well. But I certainly think we need three. On Baleba, Their update was that Man United are still monitoring Belaba. As for Wharton, he's seen as a more realistic option, not from inside the club, but his situation's fits with his agent based in Manchester and him being a Lancashire lad. Oh, I don't mind Andy Wharton, Adam Wharton. I don't mind Adam Wharton. What I'd say about Adam Wharton? I feel like Adam Wharton is a bit like Sesko. And look, Sesko's not the finished article, is he? I like Sesko, you like Sesko, but he's not even starting every game. And in a year, he could be one of the Premier League's best strikers. In a year, he could be a flop. It really could go either way. Hopefully, it's going to be the former. But I think Adam Wharton would be very much like Sesko in the sense that it's option 5 or 4, isn't it? It's not option 1 or 2. And the same thing happened with Sesko. Sesko was option 5, a striker. I mean, admittedly, he should have been above that, who was option 1, but he was option 5 for the club. Adam Wharton will be option 5. And the problem with that is, and we've seen it over the years, option 5 is option 5 for a reason. They're not option 1, 2 or 3. Rogue says Wharton's option 3. I don't think he is. I think Tonali, Bruno Guimaraes, Anderson are definitely the top 3. Maybe Wharton's 4, but he's not 3. But I do like him. And you could argue that he's a better player at the moment than Maynou. So the problem would be with buying Wharton is that you've got a very inexperienced midfield. And I don't think enough people are talking about that. That midfield is really inexperienced. You're going to have Maynou as the last midfielder, who's 20. And then you're going to bring a couple of players under 23. It's a very inexperienced midfield, and it's the one area of the pitch where you probably need somebody who knows what they're doing. If a player is on track to break the assist record, you pay him the wage that deserves, maybe the same as Haaland, at the very least the top 3 in the Premier League, says Rajaf. And Daniel Thompson says, we should be doing everything no matter how difficult it is to get the very best manager and players no matter what, yet they always go for the easiest option, hence we always fail and we never progress. Well, look, I don't know whether you've been watching from the start, Daniel, or anybody else as well. We've spoken about how Man United consistently spin the fan base, and they do consistently spin the fan base. They're happy for us to be linked to Tonali and then they kill it. They're happy for us to be linked to Anderson for 6 months because it serves their purpose and then they kill it. I think with regards to what you're saying there about Man United going for the best manager and the best players, that's best in class. Man United don't do best in class. Man United do best for their pocket. Every decision is underpinned by what's best for their pocket, basically. Thank you, Daniel. Do you still fancy Stiller if we get an Anderson, Wharton or Bruno G mark? I really like his profile. I like Stiller, filthy underdog, but it's gone very quiet on him. I mean, look, what I would say, I mean, there's so much, but this was also on the Athletic podcast. They're not just looking at Premier League proven players. They're looking at players all over. You do have agents coming to the club, not just from English clubs, saying my client isn't happy at their club. Is there any interest? You know, I'd have to weigh everything up. There's about 10 names there and 6 of them have come out publicly. The end result has to be a couple of those players come to United. I mean, look, Angelo Stiller would be a very intelligent signing and he'll probably end up at Real Madrid. Why would Man United not look at him? But I don't know. You know, Manu Kone's been linked to us before as well. There's talk of these La Liga midfielders. So I don't know. I don't know. But we do need to know a little bit more because it's not going to be long before this transfer window comes. And it feels to me at the moment, all United want to do is ride the bloody positivity of winning games in the Premier League. But there's a hidden truth there. We're not good enough and we're not actually playing that well. And I think we're winning games because everybody around us is shit. I mean, I can't believe how few points Chelsea and Liverpool have taken in the last 5. If they'd done halfway decent, we'd actually be in a bit of a battle for top 4. But, you know, us and Villa are benefiting from Chelsea and Liverpool being shit. So there is a false truth. How long will Chelsea and Liverpool be shit next year? I mean, hopefully they are, but it sort of fell in our lap. And United just seem to be focused on that and not what's coming around the corner, which is the reality. Remember Wilcox saying his worst attribute is getting involved in coaching and manager decisions, but the truth is he's frightened to actually manage, says Dan. Yeah, if he's a coach, he should go out and coach. And Emily Derry says, while United play the hokey-cokey with targets, better clubs act some old incompetence and self-serving crap. It's very frustrating. Thank you, Emily. Hope you're doing very well this morning. What do you think about Fernandes at West Ham? He's been mentioned a little bit. I mean, look, he's an interesting player who's Premier League proven, who might be quite cheap if West Ham go down. Is he somebody that excites this live chat? Yeah, I've seen a lot of you talking about him. Do you want me to be blunt? Well, I will be. Is he in top three? Or are we going down to option 5, 6 or 7 again? I'm sorry. It might work. But how many times over the last 10 years do we go down the list before we buy players? And look, you'll all be there losing your shit, buying the shirt. Oh, look at him, looking at clips. But if you don't buy best in class, you don't end up being best in class. And United haven't done that for a very long time. And it doesn't look like we're going to do it again. Because we're crossing off the best options and working our way down the list. And look, it might work out. But remember, Tonali was there. Anderson was there. Bruno Guimaraes is there. If we're not signing those players, we're working down the list and you're adding more risk. I've seen some people say we are willing to take Palmer after one good season and a poor season, but hesitant with Belaba. Artads, I think there's a world of difference between Carlos Belaba and Cole Palmer, and I'll leave it there. Apparently you're interested in Lewis Skelly. No, we're not. We don't want your players, mate. We don't want Arsenal players, thanks. Give us Declan Rice and we'll talk. Anyway, look, thanks everyone for watching. Fantastic show as always. Remember, if you want to get your tickets to watch the Gold Devils every Monday, we're in London, and then week 6 and 7, we're in Liverpool. I've dropped the link in the live chat. There was some brilliant support there last night, even though we didn't kick off until about 20 past 10. We were on the late shift last night. We won't be next week. So get involved. If you don't know anything about the Gold Devils, it was an amazing night last night in Baller League. If you want to get up to date with what's going on, lost game week one. Won last night. Check it out through the link in the video description, or go to the Mark Goldbridge channel, or go to the Baller League channel, and you can join it. And you can find out who our Bruno is, Bilal. Two rocks at the back. Goalkeeper's fantastic. Louis Johnson. I think, you know, risky. James Nolan, ex Man United youth player. He came on at the end, did really well. I think the whole team was brilliant. We were brilliant last night, and hopefully it's the start of something as well. So join the buzz. It's the international break as well. You know, there's actually football you can watch. So get involved with the Gold Devils. Give us some support. I'll pin the link in the live chat, in the video description as well. Or you can just go to the Mark Goldbridge channel or the Baller League channel and watch it. Stay safe, everyone. We're back at 2. And I still have a raft of stuff to talk about. So I'll keep some of it back till 8. Because we've got an 8 o'clock show tonight with me. So also got a lot of stuff planned over the international break around stuff. I store it up. So 8 o'clock shows will be very good because they're debate driven. And if you've got stuff you want to bring into it as well, let us know. Of the Gold Devils, says the chat, thank you very much. Stay safe. I'll speak to you in a bit.